Yammer Job at Market Street. This is KabilPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from our little glass box in the San Francisco Public Library. Today is Thursday, the 24th of October, 2013. On this date in 1260, the Cathedral of Chartres was dedicated in the presence of King Louis IX of France. 1648, in another big day for France, the Treaty of Westphalia ends the 30 Years' War and sets up the concept of the nation-state, which still thrives and annoys the hell out of everybody to this day. 1857, Sheffield FC, the world's first football club, is founded in Sheffield, England. 1861, Western Union completes the first transcontinental telegraph line, which goes from San Francisco to Washington, D.C. in 1795. Sorry about that. Should have been first, because we go chronological here or not. The Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth completely divides Poland among Austria, Prussia, and Russia. Many people don't know that, but the Poles sure remember it. 1901, 63-year-old schoolteacher named Annie Edson Taylor becomes the first person to take a plunge over Niagara Falls in a barrel. 1940, the 40-hour work week went into effect in the United States. Remember the 40-hour work week? 1945, the UN formally established. 1947, Walt Disney testifies before the House Un-American Activities Committee, naming Disney employees he thinks are communists. 1970, Salvador Allende elected president of Chile, leading to a hissy fit by the Nixon administration and the CIA. 1980, the government of Poland legalizes the Solidarity Trade Union. 2003, 10 years ago today, the Concorde makes its last commercial flight. Birthdays today are Moss Hart, the playwright, the Big Bopper, who died in the plane crash with Buddy Holly, F. Murray Abrams, Kevin Klein, and Robin Abramovich. Otar Ramashvili, the Kalakuti singer and composer, died 4 years ago today. And today it's just me, Mark Mullen. Thanks again for those posting to our forum, particularly Dodo, who somehow figured out that I had spent the night before the last podcast on a bench in the Tenderloin. Actually got tossed off the bench midnight by somebody who wanted it. She requests that I do a show from North Beach, so we'll see about that. If you'd like to comment on the blog or ask a question or tell me what I sound like, go to tpeelpod.com or send us an email at tpeelpod@gmail.com. My Georgian journal and Fides Politra column this week is about what qualities the next president most needs. On the 17th of October, New York Times reported that after 8 years of studying a 1.8 million-year-old skull found in Georgia and Manisi, scientists may have discovered something that will rewrite the evolutionary history of our human genus, Homo. Early, diverse fossils that are currently recognized as coming from distinct species like Homo habilis, Homo erectus, and others may actually represent variations among members of a single evolving lineage. An international team of scientists led by Dr. Lord Kipanidze, a paleoanthropologist at the Georgia National Museum of Georgia, came to this conclusion. A cranium excavated in 2005 in Domenici and known simply as Skull 5 was the key to this revelation. It confirmed that, contrary to some conjecture, early hominids did not need big brains to make their way out of Africa. The discovery of Skull 5 alongside the remains of four other hominids at Domenici gave the scientists an opportunity to compare and contrast the physical traits of ancestors that lived at the same location around the same time. Lord Kipanidze and his colleagues said that the differences between these fossils were no more pronounced than those between any given five modern humans or five chimpanzees. They noted that the hominids who left the fossils were quite different from one another, but still members of the same species. Skeletal bones associated with the five Domenici skulls show that these hominids were short in stature, but their limbs enabled them to walk long distances as fully upright bipeds. The shape of the small brain case distinguishes them from the more primitive Australopithecus genus, which preceded Homo and lived for many centuries with Homo in Africa. Also noted was that these five skeletons were probably attacked by saber-toothed tigers and dragged into a cave, which is pretty rough. So, they had it rough there in Domenici back in the day. Job status of Gennady Onishenko, the influential longtime head of Russia's Consumer Protection Service and official mascot of Tpilpot.com, was the subject of much speculation after Deputy Prime Minister Olga Golodets announced that Onishenko was resigning because his term had expired. Golodets said in her comments that he would be replaced by his deputy, Anna Popova, whom she called a qualified doctor and good professional. Onishenko denied the news. Medvedev's spokeswoman confirmed that no one had signed a resignation order. Onishenko has served... God, Medvedev. God, remember that guy? Onishenko has served as head of the Federal Consumer Protection Service in 2004 and as Russia's chief sanitary inspector since 1996. The physician began his career in 1973 at the Soviet Transportation Ministry and occupied a series of high-ranking positions in the field of sanitation throughout his career, including the Moscow Metro and Soviet Health Ministry. We mentioned a week or two ago that Gennady the Brilliant made some cracks about Georgia's U.S.-supported lab. On the 17th and 18th of October, the public broadcaster in Georgia hosted two debates among presidential candidates. On the 17th of October, Georgi Margvelashvili from Georgian Dream, Dato Bakradze from UNM, Georgi Targamadze from the Christian Democrats, and Zudem Khartashvili from the European Democrats participated. The questions were about foreign policy, territorial integrity, unemployment, and how the candidates plan to work with the government. Margvelashvili said that his main priority is Euro-Atlantic integration. He added that in parallel with this, Georgian Dream will continue to diffuse tensions with Russia. Bakradze said that he, that hasn't worked so well for Armenia. Bakradze said that he supports having a dialogue with Russia, but Georgia must not show weakness in this process. Candidates also had the opportunity to question each other. There is a dispute between Margvelashvili and Targamadze when the latter asked Margvelashvili why the Georgian Dream was against increasing the minimum wage from 150 to 250 lari. Margvelashvili told Targamadze, quote, "The fact that I am answering you at all means something. Stop, or I'll make you stop," end quote. On the 18th of October, the following presidential candidates participated in the debates. Kobe Davidashvili from the People's Party, Sergo Javakhidze from the Movement for a Fair Georgia, and Temur Mshavia, nominated by the Christian Democratic People's Party. Nino Borjanadze didn't participate in the debates. The public broadcaster asked Borjanadze to provide the necessary documentation to participate, but she refused and said that they had organized the debates this way on purpose not to let her participate. On the 21st of October, Shalvan Atalashvili, the Georgian Labor Party candidate and other Tpilpot.com mascot, he said that he presented his election program called Nine Steps to Victory. He said that if he wins the election, he will secure democracy, peace, justice, territorial integrity, state concern for every citizen and family will be secured regardless of ethnic or religious affiliation. The confrontation of superpowers in Georgia will end. The country will turn into an area of cooperation of the world's poles. Friendly relations with the Russian Federation will be restored. A simplified visa regime will be achieved with the U.S., Russia, and European Union countries for Georgian citizens. Close strategic cooperation with the U.S., the European Union will continue, and economic, cultural, and political integration with Caucasian peoples will start. And everybody gets a pony. On the 17th of October, BI met with editors from print media and radio stations. He said that the new government did the maximum amount of work in a year's time. According to BI, there will not be a second round in the parliamentary election. In the presidential election, Margvelashvili will become president in the first round. He stated, "I cannot imagine a second round, but if it happens, even theoretically, I would advise Margvelashvili not to take part," end quote. What does that mean, even theoretically? He added that he would be disappointed if Margvelashvili received less than 60% of the vote. Margvelashvili announced after BI's meeting that, quote, "There is no possibility for a second round, but in case of a miracle, I will not take part in the miracle," end quote. UNM's candidate Dato Bakradze criticized BI for making such remarks and said that Margvelashvili's refusal to take part in the second round of the presidential elections constitutes pressure on voters. In response to BI's statement, former presidential candidate Kakko Asatiani, whose name is still on the ballot, called on his supporters to vote for Nino Borjanadze because she is the strongest opposition candidate. "This childishness is really stupid, self-absorbed. What are the voters supposed to think about this? Now, here's what's interesting. Let's say there's not a second round, and I think it's quite possible, if you look at polling, that there may not be. I mean, if the elections are fair and whatever else, okay. I mean, maybe Mark Lashley will just win. But also looking at some polls, he may not go into it may go to a second round if he gets, 38 or 42 or 48% or whatever else. If that happens, does that mean it's a runoff between Bourgeoisie and Danto Bakradze? And does that mean that the Georgian Dream will push for Bourgeoisie as the presidential candidate? Keep in mind that Bourgeoisie has been the president before, immediately after the Rose Revolution. She was the president until Misha was reelected a couple months later. On the 22nd of October, the Ministry of Internal Affairs detained two individuals on terrorism charges, the former head of Kudi of Abkhazia, Roman Shamtava, and a former employee of the Special Tasks Department of Samagrelo Zemosvaneti, Malchaz Murghulia. On the 21st of May, 2005, residents of the village Nabakevi, Gali region, gathered in the village of Kurcha, Zugdidi region, where they intended to travel to Zugdidi to participate in the parliamentary elections. Roman Shamtava, Malchaz Murghulia, and their accomplices reportedly fired multiple rounds from weapons, causing panic. Reportedly, Malchaz Murghulia fired an RPG grenade launcher and damaged buses arranged to transport these people. After this, they paid the drivers for the damaged vehicles and injured civilians secretly with Ministry of Interior funds. I mean, all of this was blamed on the Abkhaz at the time, if you'll remember. On the 21st of October, the restaurant Puri Sakhli posted photos of the French actor Gérard Depardieu in Tbilisi. The actor recently became a Russian citizen. As a reminder, in summer, Depardieu visited Abkhazia, where Abkhaz President Alexander Ankhvab hosted him in Sukhumi. Georgian legislation prohibits individuals from entering the occupied territory from Russia without explicit permission from Georgia. Minister of Justice Ted Tsiloukiani stated that the government will study the actor's brief Tbilisi visit and will make a decision about how to respond. Quote, Gérard Depardieu is not a person about whom Georgia or any other country can make hasty decisions. That is why we will study the facts and then react. The law is the same for everyone. End quote. She said, amazing that he has become such a localized celebrity. My impression is that he's not so much discussed in France anymore. On the 17th of October, the chief prosecutor, Archild Kvilashvili, confirmed that his office is working on a new investigation into the death of former Prime Minister Zura Zhvanya. Zhvanya's brother, Gyurgy Zhvanya, doesn't rule out that the former Prime Minister's body could be exhumed. According to him, the official cause of Zhvanya's death may be changed because there's very important evidence which has been hidden until now. He blamed Misha Vanomerabashvili and Zura Adeshvili of covering up Zhvanya's murder. Misha responded to Kvilashvili's statement and said that the FBI already delivered a report about Zhvanya's death, which answered all his questions. He also added that Zhvanya was his closest friend. On the 3rd of February 2005, Zura Zhvanya and the former deputy governor of Pemo Kartli region, Raul Usupov, were found dead in an apartment in Tbilisi. According to the official version, the cause of death was a gas leakage. Next week, a newly appointed commission will start studying the August 2012 Lapankhuri special operation in which 14 people died. After the October 2012 elections, there was a new investigation, but many complained about the lack of progress. Public defender Uchananuashvili, who took the initiative, said that the 10-member independent commission will try to reveal new details and answer questions. They will also publish their conclusions and make recommendations. The commission will include Soso Tsiskarishvili, Lia Mukhashavria, Kachiashvili, Mamuka Arashidze, as well as representatives from the community in Pankizi Valley, and they should certainly have some things to say about this. The operation in Lapankhuri took place at the end of August 2012. According to the official version, 14 people died, 11 armed rebels, and 3 employees of Georgia's defense ministry. One man, Ahmet Chateyev, was detained but later released. A report earlier this year by the Public Defender's Office said the rebels were among Chechen fighters being trained by the Saakashvili government at the time. It said up to 120 Chechens had been brought in from Europe, trained at 2 military bases outside of Tbilisi, and offered safe passage into Chechnya upon completion of their training. I mean, who knows if that's true? I think it might have just involved locals in Ponchese. I mean, I think that lots of complicated things have been happening in Ponchese over the last several years. But, yeah, certainly good to figure out what exactly happened there. On the 19th of October, the prosecutor's office released a statement from the June 2013 to October 2013. There were reports of soldiers intoxicated on the job, although initially the Defense Ministry's military police launched an investigation. The prosecutor's office will investigate the case to ensure it is unbiased. Defense Minister Irakli Alasani commented, quote, "An investigation is underway, and as far as I am informed, the case may be connected with sabotage. However, I don't want to make any early statements," end quote. Sabotage? Like saboteurs put vodka in our lahidze water? I mean, what's going on here? I don't know. Okay. BI said that he will leave his post by November 24th. In an interview with the French press, BI noted that he will resign a week after the inauguration of the new president. He denied rumors that he will rule the country from backstage after his resignation. He also stated that he did not rule out the possibility of Misha appearing in court after his presidential term expires. On the 21st of October, BI said in his interview with Imedi TV that he was pleased with all his minister's work. He added that Irakli Alasania was a good minister, but nobody is perfect. Damning with faint praise. He said that there is a resemblance between Mark Velashvili and himself. BI said, quote, "Georgi has the same feeling, a feeling of obligation like me. I would give one example about him. When I had the experts club and I paid their salaries, and the public knows this, Georgi was the only man who refused to take it. He said that his salary was enough and he already felt responsibility, though he doesn't cast a shadow on others," end quote. Interesting. Similar to the Shevardnadze story, if anybody heard it, that the way that he ended up being foreign minister was there was a bunch of Politburo people and Gorbachev was worried about corruption, understandably, and had everybody sort of raise their arms and looked at their watches, and they all had foreign watches, and Shevardnadze was the only one who had a Soviet-made watch, and that's what got him the job. I have no idea if that story is true. The Central Election Commission lifted restrictions on the use of photo and video cameras at election precincts. Prior to this, there was a ban on pointing a camera at the voting booths. The CEC also lifted the 2012 regulation, which prohibited journalists from returning to an election precinct after leaving it. During the parliamentary election in 2012, journalists had to work under these restrictions. If they left the precinct once, they could only go to other precincts or stay there or move to another one. On the 19th of October, the Central Elections Commission released updated data on the number of voters. 3.5 million voters are eligible to vote in the presidential election. In addition, 45,000 voters are registered with Georgian diplomatic missions abroad and will be able to cast their ballots. Georgi Targamadze, the leader and presidential candidate of Christian Democrats, plans to sue BI for defamation. He demands 1 billion lari in compensation. When meeting with the newspaper editors, BI said, quote, "This man always had opinions that were against the state. He's like an example of a traitor in my view. He has always been standing where the country didn't need him," end quote. Yes, I mean, look, let's be honest here that Georgi Targamadze was Aslan Abashidze's protege for many, many years, which, you know, was Abashidze was not a positive force in the country. According to the head of the state parole board, Elena Tevdoradze, prison employees convicted of torturing inmates are on the pardon list. The pardon commission made this list and sent it to Misha. Public defender Uchenano Ashvili said that each case will be discussed individually and that they will consider all risks. On the 20th of October, the state pardon commission considered more than 400 cases and issued positive recommendations for more than 150 prisoners, 120 of whom will be released. The prison time of the rest will be halved, according to the public defender. The commission tried to avoid issuing positive recommendations for people convicted of serious crimes. Good that they tried to avoid that. According to the report from the prison ministry, 5 prisoners have died in prison in the third quarter of 2013. The report says that the number of deaths decreased compared to the same period last year, and the number of prisoners has also decreased from 22,000 to 9,000. On the 21st of October, Georgian Young Lawyers, or GILA, presented a report on the national and international practice of vehicle procurement in public agencies. Since 2011 through 2012, Georgian ministries and state agencies procured 2,146 vehicles with a total price tag of 87 million lari. The Ministry of Internal Affairs bought the most expensive of all cars at a whopping 110,000 euros, a Mercedes-Benz 500, which the former interior minister, Bacho Achalaya, gave to the Patriarchate as a gift. Later, BI signed a decree establishing a special commission to determine rules and regulations for vehicle procurement. The head of the chancery and the deputy ministers will head the commission. On the 19th of October, Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze and President of SOCAR, Rovnag Abdullayev, signed an agreement in the Patriarchate of Georgia. According to the agreement, SOCAR will provide free natural gas for the facilities of all major religious faiths in Georgia for a year beginning on the 1st of November. The Patriarch Ilya II thanked them and noted that the step would further deepen Georgian Azerbaijani relations. GeorgianElections.Weebly.com published an alleged email correspondence between National Security Advisor Giga Bulgaria and Jeremy Rossner of Greenberg Quinlan Rossner, containing numerous bits of advice for UNM's presidential candidate Dato Bakradze on his campaign strategy. Later, Greenberg Quinlan Rossner published a statement and said that the email release is completely fraudulent. I personally also believe that it is a fraud. I read it and looked at it. I've met Rossner before and Stan Greenberg and know the tone of these things. So I think it is a put-up job. However, it is very, very interesting from the point of view of illustrating the sensitivities of at least a part of the current ruling team that put it up. So if you read it presuming that someone, you know, modestly senior within the Georgian Dream put it up, and they went to some efforts and, kind of, you know, somehow have a native or very nearly native English speaker who, you know, went over the thing or wrote it or whatever. It's quite interesting. I'd encourage everybody to take a take a look. It's at GeorgianElections.Weebly.com. That's W-E-E-B-L-Y.com. Bulgaria said that he will leave his post if the Georgian Dream candidate Georgi Margvelashvili wins the presidential election. Bulgaria stated that he does not want to cooperate with any Georgian Dream-appointed coalition politicians. On the 22nd of October, Nino Borjanadze met with locals in Kutaisi. According to ZonaNews.ge, municipal buses brought her supporters to the gathering. One of the drivers said that the government ordered them to do it. Borjanadze's supporter from the village of Kveda Svimoneti used a Georgian Dream minibus to attend the meeting. On the 18th of October, the 38th meeting under the Incident Prevention and Response Mechanism took place in Ergneti, where they discussed the continued installation of fences along the ABL, as well as detained and missing people. The next meeting will take place on the 15th of November. On the 22nd of October, the appellate court upheld the decision of the Tbilisi City Court's not guilty decision on Tengiz Gunava, the former governor of Samograd-Zemun-Sovneti region. The prosecutor's office accused him of injuring his driver while serving as head of the General Inspection of the Interior Ministry. As a reminder, in July, Gunava was found guilty of misusing petrol and misappropriating state property and was sentenced to 4 years in prison. However, Misha pardoned him at the end of the month. By the way, so you know, his case was really the most spectacular of the many somewhat bungled investigations last year by the prosecutor's office. I mean, you know, he was planted with heroin, you know, and that sort of stuff. So that's, I mean, he's the one that the national movement always point to as like how ridiculously he's been treated. According to the refugee ministry, they discovered a sixth storage place for humanitarian goods in Bolnisi. These goods should have been distributed to IDPs from the 2008 August war. Instead, they've been sitting in storage since 2008. BI's ex-wife, Inga Pavlova, gave an interview with Vladimir Ivanidze, a Georgian journalist. She said that she and BI met each other in Moscow and were business partners. Later, Pavlova went to France, where B.I. followed her, and they got married. Pavlova stated that she found out about his second wife only after 20 years in 2012. After that, she and B.I. divorced. Pavlova described B.I. as a greedy person and said that he used her because he wanted to live in France. Pavlova also claims that B.I. used her name to falsify documents and not pay taxes. Misha asked for financial assistance from organizations and individuals for the timely completion of his presidential library. He also asked companies, universities, and citizens to donate books to the library. Books can be brought to the University of Georgia for monetary donations. Citizens may use a Bank of Georgia account, which is indicated on Misha's official Facebook webpage. For those who don't know, presidential libraries are sort of an American thing and provide a vehicle and organization for former presidents to do things and have speaking engagements and, in general, be met about town. On the 22nd of October, Misha and his family moved to their former apartment on Bodanovi Street, where the family lived prior to the Rose Revolution. The last few years, they have lived on Dihomi Street. Some news reports said that Misha had to pack up things himself. According to the Deputy Minister of Finance, Gheorghe Tabuashvili, the government plans to introduce an accumulative pension system. Currently, the Ministry of Economy is working with the World Bank on pension reforms. We have no additional information. Tabuashvili made the statement about the reforms in a meeting with a parliamentary minority, and he said the Ministry of Economy has started working with this on this issue with the World Bank. On the 15th of October, 26 NGOs spread a joint statement about the Khudoni hydropower plant. They claim that there is no strategic document or objective reason that justifies the Khudoni project. They suspect that private interests are behind the project. The Energy Ministry managing staff had commercial investments in the energy sector quite recently. The NGOs call on the Prime Minister and the Energy Minister to refrain as much as possible from lobbying investors, exerting pressure on competent decision-making authorities and project-affected communities, as well as attempting to discredit environmental organizations. They should study conflicts of interest and elite corruption mechanisms in order to rule them out. On the 20th of October, according to the webpage politico.ge, in Kutaisi, a priest who was driving a Mercedes ML crashed into a taxi and then hid. The taxi driver called the police, but they didn't do anything. Based on the driver's information, Politico.ge found out that the car belongs to a priest, Gia Beraya, who has a special pass from the Ministry of Internal Affairs on his car. The webpage reports that Archbishop Castrilate's birthday was the same day in Kutaisi. They suspect the priest was drunk. According to Levan Davitashvili, chairman of the National Wine Agency, Georgian wine exports increased this year by 20%, not including the Russian market, which increased by 70%. As Telavi wine cellar noted, demand on Georgian wine increased. The company processed 6,000 tons of grapes this year, the largest amount in the company's history. Beginning in January 2014, the design of vehicle registration plates will change to be closer to European standards. The state flag will be in the upper left corner of the plate and on the lower left corner, the country designation code GE. There will be two symbols on the right and left sides, including three numbers in the middle. Strong wind and powerful waves damaged Batumi Boulevard's infrastructure, including pedestrian paths, cafes, and restaurants near the seaside. According to Batumi Mayor Cemal Anantidze, the damage will exceed 1 million lari. The parliament is on recess until the 30th of October because of upcoming presidential elections. The meme this week is from Jumpstart Georgia. After analyzing 2012 election data, Jumpstart found some anomalies. According to them, while these did not affect the outcome of the elections, they could influence future elections unless precinct election members, independent observers, and the Central Election Commission take measures to ensure the CEC's official election data is accurate. We will post this on the forum. Things to read, an article by Sean Walker, The Guardian, about BI's decision to quit politics. Molly Corso in Business New Europe about Georgia's role in the international transit sector. Article by Georgi Kelotozashvili about the presidential election and Georgian Dream's refusal to take part in the second round. Article by Michael Cecil about the upcoming presidential elections in foreignpolicy.com. Post by ISETS on ISETS blog by Eric Livni about Samska Javakheti, road rehabilitation, and agricultural development. All these things to read will be posted on our forum. This week's GeoCabin number is 50, which is Georgia's position in the 2013 Global Slavery Index. The calculated number of enslaved people in Georgia is 16,000. Georgia is followed by Azerbaijan, which is in 51st place with 33,000 enslaved people. Russia has an estimated 500,000 and ranks 49th by prevalence of slavery. Armenia is 57. The report says that Mauritania is the worst offender based on prevalence. However, India has the highest number with 14 million. Countries with the lowest prevalence of modern slavery are the UK, Ireland, and Iceland. The index was prepared by the Australia-based Walk Free Foundation, provides ranking based on three variables: estimated prevalence of modern slavery in each country, measure of the level of human trafficking, and child marriage. This week's English language movie at the Roosevelt Valley Movie Theater across from Parliament is on Saturday, the 26th of October, Gravity, at 4 p.m. On Wednesday, the 30th of October, Gravity is at 10:30 p.m. On the 24th of October, the famous French actress and director Fanny Ardant will visit Tbilisi. The National Cinema Center for Georgia and the French Institute will host her. Within the frame of the visit, Ardant will hold a master class in the Marjanashvili Theater. Roosevelt Valley Cinema will present her most recent film, Obsessed Rhythm, and Ardant will attend the viewing. On the 26th of October at 4 p.m., TBC Bank, City Hall, and Tbilisi Mall will host Tbilisi Big Band Concert as part of the Tbilisi 16th International Jazz Festival. Admission is free. The address is on the 16th kilometer of the Agmashenabeli Avenue. This big band is a really great band. Go to that if you have the chance. From the 22nd of October till the 30th of November, UNFPA and the Sports Ministry are holding a youth photo contest, which aims to promote a healthy lifestyle. On the 10th of December, contestant judges will reveal the winners. You can find out more at georgiaunfpa.ge. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That is Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tpilpod, tblpod at gmail.com, or post to the forum at website www.tpilpod.com. This one's going out to Will Dunbar. Since British music from the 90s has not been fairly represented among the tpilpod.com sign-off tunes, as part of our musical genre affirmative action program, we'll finish with the one-man band White Town's 1997 hit, Your Woman.